Thank you, Brittany. Take your Bibles, friends, and find Proverbs chapter 25, if you would. Today we kind of begin to come to a close on this series in the book of Proverbs that I've called Get Smart, talking about learning to be wise, live life according to God's Word. And today I want to talk about a particular situation that really is a challenge really for probably all of us, I would presume. In fact, it was really at a men's conference a few months ago that my attention was really drawn to this subject. As a speaker said, that this is perhaps one of the biggest challenges in the life of a man, but it applies to men and women alike, young and old alike. Let me just describe for you, in the words of a Harvard University researcher, physically what occurs in your body when you experience this emotion. The respiration deepens. The heart beats more rapidly. The arterial pressure rises. The blood is shifted from the stomach and intestines to the heart, to the central nervous system, and to your muscles. The processes of the elementary canal cease. Sugar is freed from the reserves in the liver. The spleen contracts and discharges its contents of concentrated corpuscles, and adrenaline is secreted. That is the physiological description. Kids, that is what happens in your body when you get angry. And today I want us to talk about losing your temper, or maybe more appropriately, finding your temper. I want to talk about how to keep your cool when things get hot. And I don't care whether you're a little baby showing an angry face, or a man or a woman, or maybe I think about when I was a kid growing up, there was a popular television show called The Incredible Hulk. And The Incredible Hulk is the picture of someone who goes through a change when all of a sudden that emotion of anger is awakened within his or her body. Now, I want to just kind of share with you just some reasons maybe that there's anger before we get into the text here, all right? Because I did some research this week, and why do we get angry anyway? I mean, what are some reasons for anger? Well, I think one reason is when you're hurt. Hurt causes anger. When you're physically or spiritually or emotionally hurt, oftentimes we respond by getting angry. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're frustrated when nothing seems to work, when you're forced to wait. Maybe when you're working on something and it just doesn't seem to work out as you've planned. You're frustrated. You can get angry. And then also, I think we get angry sometimes because we're insecure. We're insecure. You feel threatened. You're afraid. Your self-worth is attacked, maybe. Maybe that causes anger. I think about a cat or any kind of animal at times. If it's backed sufficiently enough into a corner where it feels threatened, it oftentimes responds and lashes out in anger. I hadn't planned on sharing this episode from my own life, but I did in the first two services, so you'll probably maybe hear people talk about it, so I might as well tell you anyway. So Tuesday night, though, our family was at a swim meet. Two older kids were in this swim meet, and we're there. And I look back now, and I already think, man, I wasn't totally in the right frame of mind. For one thing, swim meets, like, take forever, it seems like. And you're there, like, all night long, and you get to see them, like, swim for, like, 50 seconds, and you're sitting back over there for another hour. But anyhow, so I was probably not already in the best of moods, which was another problem and another sermon right there. But all of a sudden, one of the kids was going to swim the butterfly. And we were just stoked, man. We were excited to see the child swim the butterfly. And they're there. And the race begins. Swimming the butterfly. And about halfway into the race, the child stands up. Goggles are down around the nose. Right then I know it's a DQ. It's a disqualification right there. And he's struggling to get the goggles back in place and to get back into the race and finishes the race. Proud of that. I walk over, give a big hug. Then I'm walking back over the other side of the pool, and I walk by my wife. Should have kept my mouth shut. In that moment, as I'm walking by my wife, I say this under my breath. I ought to go out and buy this kid some decent goggles. As soon as I said it, I was like, no! She looked back at me, and bless her heart, she showed a lot of grace. She just kept on walking. She was at the 9:30 service, and I'm just like, oh, man, you know, it's like, you know, why? You see, listen, these aren't excuses, by the way. Was I frustrated and all that? Yeah, probably so. It's not an excuse. You see, there isn't an excuse for that anger. She didn't deserve that. It wasn't her fault. It really wasn't anybody's fault. Sometimes things just happen. But in that brief moment, I reacted in an angry way. So I want us to understand how we can deal with anger. Because, boys and girls, you're going to have times where you're angry. Men and women, there's times when you're angry. Teenagers, there's times when you're angry. But I think about in history, Alexander the Great made a statement. Alexander the Great, you see, this is what happened. One day in a fit of rage, he hit one of his favorite generals. In fact, this man was one of his dear friends, and he killed him. Alexander the Great made this statement. He said, "I have conquered the world, but I haven't conquered my temper." Today, I want us to see how we can deal with anger from Proverbs 25, because men and women and young people, I know you want, you know you need to conquer your temper. So let's pray and ask for God's grace in this. Lord, I pray right now that you'll help us to understand how we can deal with anger, that we can know that you give us the truth and the answers, and we can, and this can be conquered in our lives. Oh, Lord God, help us with this, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So take your Bible, look with me at Proverbs 25. Let me just kind of jump right in here. Look down at verse 7 and 8. At the end of verse 7, you get your first way to deal with anger right here. And the way Proverbs are, remember, we've been studying these, you read through these Proverbs, and as you're reading the book of Proverbs, if you read a proverb a day, for instance, a chapter of Proverbs a day, you might have a pen in hand. And every now and then, as you come through a subject, like if you come across something about anger, take your pen, for instance, and maybe write the letter A by that and circle it. And that'll highlight it when you go back and read it again. Well, that's a word on controlling my temper. That's a word on anger. Same as if you're reading about, come across a proverb on parenting or on your speech or whatever. But look at that proverb. The end of verse 7 says this, "What your eyes have seen," and listen to this, "do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame?" And by the way, your neighbor, who's your neighbor? Well, your spouse is your closest neighbor. Your kids are your neighbors. Your parents are your neighbors. Those who live on around you physically, yeah, they're your neighbors. Your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates, your teammates. We're neighbors, people you interact with. And he says right here in Proverbs, do not hastily bring it into court. Hey, listen, when something isn't going right, there's a warning here. Hey, don't be hasty about it. That means don't be quick about it. So here's your first way to deal with anger. Deal with anger patiently. That proverb is saying you need to have some patience. I think many of our adult Bible fellowship classes, one of the teachers was telling me, they're teaching on patience and the fruit of the Spirit today. Deal with anger patiently. What I'm telling you is don't get angry in a hurry. Back off before you fight back. That's what I'm trying to say, all right? But you know what? This can be hard to do. It's hard to do this. Proverbs 15:18, though, says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." It means if you're slow to anger, you're going to help keep things calm and in place and not make things worse. Proverbs 18:13, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame." Deal with anger patiently. How do you do that practically? Well, I would encourage us to remember the results. Proverbs 29:22, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression." You know what anger does? Anger causes mistakes. That's what it does. Anger ultimately doesn't do us a whole lot of good. We got to remember the results. People with hot tempers do foolish things. The humorist Will Rogers made this statement, and it really clicked with me this week. People who fly into a rage seldom make a good landing. I'm telling you, deal with anger patiently. So remember the results, and then what you do is practically reflect before you react. Don't respond impulsively. Think it through first. Proverbs 29:11, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Let me give you another translation of that verse, because it might stick a little better. 29:11, "A stupid man gives free rein to his anger. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool." That's strong talk, because anger is serious business, guys. Reflect before reacting. Let me tell you, a great remedy for anger is delay. Delay. The longer you hold your temper, quite often, the more the situation will improve. So patience, 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 dealing with it patiently. I didn't realize this. I mean, I didn't realize who was credited with this, but boys and girls, maybe your parents have said, now listen, before you get angry, count to 10. You ever heard mom or dad tell you that? Count to 10. I was researching this week, and Thomas Jefferson is the one given credit for coming up with that. He said, when you get angry, count to 10. And he said, when you get very angry, count to 100. Deal with anger patiently. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Who was the best example of this? Jesus. Jesus, man, he had people lie on him and slander him and criticize him and backstab him, and they put him down and they misunderstood him. Yet what did Jesus do? The Bible tells us that Jesus never sinned in anger. You see, Jesus, of course, the perfect embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit, he dealt patiently. You know, is this really a big deal? Is anger a big deal? Let me tell you how big a deal it is. Every minute I'm angry, I lose 60 seconds of happiness. I said a dumb comment that Tuesday evening. It came out of my mouth in 5 seconds. The rest of the evening, I grieved that and I mourned that. It robbed me of some joy. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to learn to deal with anger patiently. You need to ask yourself, is this really worth giving up happiness over? Most time it's not. Most time it's not that big of a deal. Now you say, well, what if it is a big deal? Well, now we're going to come to the second way. The second way. Look at verse 9 and 10. Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret. Here's the second way you deal with anger. You need to deal with it patiently, all right? And then number 2, deal with it privately. Pastor Adrian Rogers said, you want to keep the circle of knowledge the same as a circle of need, meaning this, that you need to deal with a situation, with the person as privately as possible. That's what Proverbs is warning here. Deal with it privately. In fact, Jesus taught this. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus taught us this. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But Proverbs 17:9 warns us, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Let me illustrate this for you. I did a wedding here yesterday. And take a marriage, for instance. Your spouse and you disagree about something, and maybe you're wrestling with being angry over it. I want to encourage you. Now listen, we have folks that can support you and pray for you and counsel you, and we have counselors and all this and that, but I'm telling you, first step, according to Matthew 18 and Jesus and the Proverbs, is you deal with stuff as privately as you can, because I'm going to illustrate it for you. You get into it with your spouse. You pick up the telephone and you call your mother. And you say, you won't believe what she did. That afternoon, you and your spouse make up, and y'all are good to go. But mom may remember. Dad might remember. That friend may remember. That coworker may remember, because you went outside that circle. You made that circle bigger than it needed to be. I'm going to give you that warning there. Deal with anger as privately as you can. And then if you have to get assistance, then you go from there biblically and prayerfully, but you deal with it as privately as you can. Number 3, you deal with anger prudently. You deal with it wisely. Prudent means wise. It means smart. It means the way God wants you to deal with it. Look at Proverbs 25:11, right there, same chapter. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Now, what does that mean? It's saying this. Listen, if your words are the right words, if they're wise words, you're going to be in better shape. Deal with anger wisely, prudently. Look down at verse 18. I'm going to give you this illustration here. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor, and he gives us this explanation. He tells you what your words are like. When they're angry, hateful words. Look at the description. A war club. Kids, you seen the pictures? Back in like ancient times, it would be like this big club. Another word for it would be battle axe. It's this club that they would use to hit people with in warfare. A sword, you've seen a sword, right? Arrows, shooting an arrow. That's a description of how harmful unwise words can be when spoken in anger. You've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt me. I said the other week when I did the Proverbs sermon on words that whoever said that didn't know what he's talking about. Because words do hurt. Words damage. Words can bruise and harm. For instance, like a war club, words can crush. Like a sword, they can slice. Like an arrow, they can pierce. So you want to deal with your anger prudently. You know, there's a right way to say something and a wrong way to say something. You know that, right, guys? Let me illustrate it for you. For instance, sir, you're talking to a lady. You can say to a woman, you look like a breath of spring. Or you can say to her, you look like the end of a long, hard winter. One's a good way to say it, and one's not such a good way to say it. And they're both saying the same thing, really. Let me give you another example. When I look into your face, time stands still. When I look into your face, man, you got a face that could stop a clock. I mean, see, that's saying really the same thing, but one's the wrong way to say it. I want to just encourage you here, man. You deal with anger prudently. Learn to speak with wise words. Here's the issue for me when it comes to anger. Remember I described for you physically what takes place? The adrenaline is pumping. The blood is flowing. Here's what happens when we get angry. When we get angry, oftentimes the words come fast. And the words come sharp and sarcastic. I was telling somebody after 9:30 service, I said, you know, what I have to wrestle with before the Lord is I use my words a lot. And I can at times use my words to maybe be a little bit witty or to turn a phrase or to make a point. But you know what? If I'm not seeking the Lord and submitting His Holy Spirit, my words, I can use my words. Man, I could be the head of the debate team. I can use my words to slice, to pierce, to crush. So we need to deal with anger prudently. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word, it stirs up anger. You see, what happens is when we get angry and we take the volume up, what it does is the other person often is going to bring the volume up. So deal with anger prudently, wisely, smartly. But you say, well, you know, I don't want to be a wimp. I don't want to be a wimp. I want to deal with the situation, all right? So what you want to do, number four, is you want to deal with anger powerfully, right? Powerfully. We'll look at verse 15. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. That's the idea right here, that if you want to deal with anger powerfully, understand this. We can learn to use tact. We can learn not to fly off the handle. I'm talking about strength under control. Any jockey who rides a racehorse knows what strength under control is. I'm talking about dealing with your anger powerfully. You see, temper tantrums are a great illustration of this. You see, temper tantrums aren't a show of strength. What are they a sign of? Immaturity. I'll show you a picture. This is probably around 1974. This is Happy Brian, all right? That's Happy Brian, okay? That's Happy Brian. Now this is Angry Brian, all right? See, that's Angry Brian, all right? See, I mean, I was upset about something. And that's not a very powerful way to deal with anger. It's an immature way. The Bible tells us that we can deal with anger powerfully. So how does that happen? That brings me to number five. Deal with it positively. Proverbs 25, 21, 22. Look at that. This is Jesus talking to us right here through the book of Proverbs. Listen, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. You know, there's different levels of life. The first level is a level that I'm assuming none of you would live on. That's what I would call the satanic level. That's where you do evil when someone does you good. All right, that's level one. Level two is what I call the human level, and this is where most folks live. This is where most religions are, by the way. This is where we do good for good or evil for evil. It's like the old eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That's the human level. You do good to me, I'm going to do good back to you. You do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong, all right? But that's not the Christ way. The next level, the third level, is what I call the Christ level, Christ-like level. That's when even if someone does you evil, you do good. You do good for evil. That's dealing with anger positively. You know, that's the kind of life Christ wants us to live. You say, well, how do I do that? You want to know why we sometimes get angry? You want to know why you get angry, partly? Here it is. It's because it works. Think about it for a moment. Mom, Dad, why do you sometimes get angry with the kids? It's because when you talk loud and you act angry, they hush, don't they? Why do we sometimes show anger at work? It's because it gets their attention. Now, does it get it in the right way? No. Does it honor the Lord? No. But you see, the problem with anger is this, is when we get angry, we oftentimes get the behavior reinforced because immediately what happens is the people start doing what we want them to do. The problem is it doesn't honor the Lord and it doesn't point people to Him. They respond out of fear and not out of love. So that brings me to number 6. See, what has to happen in dealing with anger is you have to, you know, to be patient, to deal with anger patiently and powerfully and prudently and all those things I listed, you got to come to number 6. You got to deal with it personally. You got to deal with anger personally. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. Look at what it says. It says there at the end of this chapter, a man without self-control is like a city broken and left without walls. You see what happens when we get angry? We're like a city that doesn't have walls anymore. It means this. It means that you're open for attack. You know, when I get angry, I am more open to attack from the evil one than almost any other time in my life. I am open to spiritual warfare. So I have to deal with it personally. And the Bible here says, a man without self-control. Well, how do you get that self-control? Well, the Bible goes on to tell us, and that's what many of you adults were studying in your Bibles today during your Bible fellowship classes, is ultimately self-control comes when we're under the Spirit's control. It's when we realize, and here's the good news in this message today. See, oftentimes what we think about the good news of Jesus Christ, boys and girls, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, what you think about the preacher talking about that you want to trust Jesus so your sins are forgiven. That's true. And what we think about is you walk in an aisle down here and you're praying with a pastor, you're going on to get baptized, and what that is you're saved from the penalty of your sin. We also believe pretty easily that we're going to be saved from the presence of sin one day, that one day we're going to go to be with God in heaven. But we forget where life is lived for the follower of Jesus. And it's never, ever, ever forgetting this, folks, that you're not only just saved from the penalty of sin and the presence of sin, but you are saved from the power of sin. That's how we deal with anger personally. We come to understand that we turn to Him each and every step. So what are your options? Here's your options. Well, one, you can repress it. That's where you just bottle it up, and then what happens maybe one day? Boom, you just explode, right? You can repress it. You could express it. Express it. That's where you just vent. You just vent. Well, I'm just venting, man. I am just so over them right now. I'm just going to vent. You can repress, you can express, or you can do what you see in the book of Psalms. Hey, have you ever been reading the book of Psalms, maybe in your quiet time, and you come to a chapter, and maybe it's David, King David writing, and you're like, what did he just write? And it's like, and it seems like in a psalm, every now and then you'll come across, for instance, David in a psalm, and he's like basically praying to God that God would just smoke or just wipe out some neighbor of his. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll be like, "What, Lord, why would you even let that be in your holy word?" You know what, kids, understand this. Never forget Pastor Brian telling you this. You grow up, go to college one day, and people start taking shots at the Bible. Understand this. The Bible, one of the reasons I believe the Bible from cover to cover is because it's the Bible tells you the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Bible tells you the reality about life. And here's the reality. On certain days, you take someone like David. David was confessing his anger to the Lord. And that's better than repressing it, and that's better than expressing it. So I'm going to tell you, that's a place to start. You just confess whatever you got going on inside of you, confess it to the Lord in prayer. That's how you begin to deal with anger personally. The other thing that has to happen is you have to empty yourself so He can fill you up. You have to empty yourself of yourself so the Lord can fill you with Himself. How does that happen? I think that happens as you just practically begin to just confess Him, trust Him, say, Lord, I want to give this up. Lord, I want you to take this anger, I want you to take these thoughts, I want you to take this behavior out of my life, and I want to trust you, Lord, to fill me with your joy, your peace. Randall, come here for a second, son. Yeah, you come on up. This is a Kool-Aid burst. You ever drunk one of these? Maybe. All right. Now this Kool-Aid, come on up here for a second. This Kool-Aid burst bottle right here, all right? Now, this is when I so wish I was preaching outside, all right? Because we could have some fun with this right now, but we can't because the cleaning folks will get all in my face about it, all right? Because what I'd love to do is take the top off of this. Yeah, you know what it would be used for, right? Well, yeah, come on. I know your folks are listening, but what would you really like to do with it sometimes?
Drink it.
He's such a good boy. Right? You know what would be an interesting experience would be to take it and to spray it on somebody.
Not really.
Oh, isn't he a good guy? Y'all need to give him a hand. Give him a good hand. Thank you for... Now, I'll tell you. Let me ask you a question. Now, if I took this and I did slap it, squeeze it, what do you think would happen?
It would go out.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Why? Because
it's open
and there's Kool-Aid inside of it. So you would expect if I squeezed it, this Kool-Aid, this red Kool-Aid, would get all over you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what happens. That's what happens. You see, when we get angry, whatever presses us, whatever's on the inside, that's what comes out. Y'all get that? Thank you, sir. You can have that. All right. There you go. God bless you. Thanks for being here. All right. You get the point? You weren't going to spray that on me, were you? All right. So you get the point. You see, that's where we got to empty ourselves so He can fill us up. All right. And that's day in and day out. That's the Spirit-filled life. That's living in the power of Jesus Christ. Because what we have to do to deal with anger is ultimately, personally, have it dealt with. Surrendering to Him and saying, Lord, take away whatever is causing this and fill me with it. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for the Lord Jesus to be honored in our lives and to be trusted in our lives. So I want to ask you just to stand to your feet and just bow your heads with me in prayer. And I want to pray this for you. I want to pray, because He wants to do this, I want to pray that you will trust Jesus to heal you of any hurt there might be in your life. Heal you with His love. I want to pray for us that we would let Jesus replace our frustrations with His peace. That we would pray to Jesus to replace whatever insecurity there might be with His power, with our confidence in Him. You know, the Bible tells us it's better to be slow-tempered than to be famous. It's better to have self-control than to control an army. So let's make this our prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's pray this. You just pray along with me. If I say something that strikes a chord, if you want to say amen, if you want to pray, kind of pray after me a little bit or just quietly, whatever. And then we're going to sing this song in response to Him. Here we go. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, would you heal my hurt? So I can stop hurting other people. Would you fill me with your love so that when the world puts on the pressure, that's what comes out? Fill me with your love. Jesus, would you replace my frustration with your peace? I want to give you the control of my life because then I won't be so frustrated trying to make it all work out in my own power. I want to trust you and believe that you can control circumstances. And Lord, help me just to relax in you. Would you pray this? Jesus, would you replace my insecurity with your power? Give me a sense of confidence that comes from you, not from what I wear or what I do or how I act or how I look or whatever. And friend, if you've never said yes to Jesus, say yes to Him today. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, the boss of my life. I need your help. I want to live for you and the kind of life you want for me. I believe in you, but I can't do it on my own. Will you be number one in my life? We can never tame our own tempers on our own. We need a power greater than that, than of ourselves. We need the power of Christ. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to remember the results of when I get angry. Lord, help me to reflect before I react. And Lord, help me. Help me to learn to restrain my remarks and things that I might would say in anger. Oh God, I pray right now, if there's any soul in this place that today has put their faith and trust in you as the Lord and Savior, the first time in their life, Lord, turning their life over to you, I pray during this song they'll come forward and they'll just share with me that they put their trust in you, Jesus, today, and I pray for them and encourage them. Others may feel led to unite with this church family, make a commitment to being baptized as a believer, but Lord, I pray that each and every person here will know that each of us can respond to you today, either privately or publicly. Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, by your power, deal with our anger. In Jesus' name.